Blog Talk Radio.
It is another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, have made. I will rejoice. You should. Come on. Let's do it together. Rejoice and be glad in it. It is another wonderful opportunity for your lives to be made whole and right in Him. That's right. Times come and times pass when you and I are finding ourselves not where we should be in Him. This is an opportunity. Today is another day. A time to bring your soul into alignment with His plan and His will for your life. The first thing you must do is repent for your sins. I've been having a wonderful time with what is considered to be the appointments of the Most High, and in this season where the appointments are most frequent and most realistic for me, I have come to realize that without Him, I can do nothing. And when I try to work outside of Him, my life always ends up in a condition, space, or place that is not conducive to His word. I need Him like never before, hoping you do as well. It is a wonderful thing to realize that the King of our salvation, the God of our salvation, Creator of heaven, earth, and all that therein dwell, needs us to realize an understanding that in Him we can live, and only in Him can we move, and only by Him do we have our being. That's right. Our being is in Him. Well, today is another wonderful opportunity to resecure that place of being. I told you before, that is through the veil of his blood, the repenting of your sins. If I confess my sin, Yahweh said he is faithful and just to forgive, and then he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let us consider our ways today. Consider who it is that gives us what we think we have attained on our own, and grant him all that he requires of us. We want so much from him. We want him to heal us. We want him to make us financially stable. We want him to grant us businesses and ministry and families and spouses and children and things. We want everything, and he only wants one thing: our undying to the reason he put us on the earth. And we find every reason not to do that. We find every purpose under the sun, under the heavens, not to do his will, but to do our own. And yet we want him to bless every one of our thoughts, every one of our desires, every one of our needs, every one of our thoughts. And we take no thought for the fact that it is by his power alone we exist, we move, and we function. So today, I'm going to do it right here on the air. Maybe someone will learn how to do it, but it needs to be done more frequently and more often than we profess. But here's what we do. We should repent for our sins. Father, I come before you, and I ask you by the power of your Spirit that you forgive me of any and all sins, thoughts or ideals, mindsets and concepts that are not like you. If I've harmed anyone or anyone's been harmed by me, I ask you to reveal to me my truth and help me to live my life in a way that pleases you from this day forward. We all live and we all live. We love to live. We love to do what we do. But we're asking you to give us your grace, to give us your salvation, to remove us from the mire and the clay that we walk in every day, which is our own ways, our own thoughts, and our own mindsets. And we are asking you to cleanse us. I ask you to cleanse me. Therefore, as we, believers in you, walk forward from this point, wash us in your blood, purify us by your Spirit, and keep us from every wrong way. More importantly, help us to forgive. Forgive ourselves. We hurt ourselves more than we know. Forgive, help us to forgive our neighbors. Help us to forgive those who are our colleagues in you. But more importantly, Yahweh, we ask you for your forgiveness of the wrong we've done, wrong we think we've done, the wrong we don't know we've done. With my heart today, I prostrate my soul before you. Change me into the image of your Son. No matter how much I think I look like you, I know now I don't. And we as your people take this opportunity, if we've never done it before, I do it now from the depth of my soul. Have mercy on my very life. This I pray you, that salvation can be mine. We desire to know you in truth and in spirit, and not in flesh or our own ways of thinking. And today, that day, you've given us, we give it and our lives back to you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, who we believe lived, died, rose again, according to your writ. And we will say it from our hearts and believe it with everything that we are. You are our Savior. This we pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you for salvation. And help us now to walk in it alone, that you alone can get glory. Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know what it means to repent, it means to turn from your wicked ways. And wicked doesn't mean that you or wickedness is something that is so diabolical. It means that you know truth and you do contrary. And wickedness is something that many of people don't realize we do. Today, in this last week, I've had a great conversation with the Most High. And he's brought me to a place of introspection, which we're coming upon soon, that I think every single human needs to look at and to embrace. Check ourselves. I know I have to. There are things and places and issues that arise in our lives that make us consider our ways so that we can consider him as Savior and King. Without him, we really are nothing. We can put on as many airs and fronts as we want. I'm too old right now to care about games. I'm too old to consider that life has this invincibility clause. If we're going to live and do anything, let's make sure that all we do to his glory and we do to his praise. And oftentimes we don't. Our thoughts, whether we are angry or we're frustrated or we're disappointed or we're afraid or we're fearful or we're vengeful or we're just judgmental, it is in him and him alone that we live. It is in him and him alone that we should have our being. And when we realize that only in him, according to his way, can one attain salvation, we learn the meaning and the purpose of life. I want heaven to be my home. Hell or high water on this earth, my life, your life, our life, should be submitted to him. And allow him to correct us when we're wrong. If you confess your sins to Messiah, you confess your sins to Elohim, not to man. You don't confess your sin to man, but you confess your sin to Messiah. You confess your sin to Yahweh, our Elohim. And if you mean it, not only through confession, but turning your back on that which you have confessed, that he has convicted you of, your Bible and our governance in the kingdom states, he will forgive you, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and he gives you a new beginning. It's interesting. Sometimes we don't know that the things we say or the things we do can be just as displeasing as to Elohim as the things we see and say others do. Live to be saved. If your brother is overtaken in a fault, you that are supposed to be spiritual, oh, that's me. Especially me. Oh, I'm supposed to be so spiritual. I find out I got more flesh in me than spirit every day of the week. But back to the Bible. If your brother is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. The Bible is very true. It keeps you on point. And if you really desire to please the Father, as he says, acknowledge him in all your way. He will direct your path. Remember, anger, malice, untruth, murmuring, complaining, backbiting, all of that is equated to murder. Thou shalt not kill. If anyone kills, let Yahweh do the killing. David was very interesting in his years of life. He was appointed to be king after a king was rejected. In the process of that king's rejection, that king that was rejected constantly tried to kill David, who would be his replacement. He used every resource available to him as the sitting and presiding king to kill and hunt down David. In every opportunity that David had, he was on the run. It was interesting because I saw in the writ where King Saul was placed inside of King David's hiding place. He did not know it. And those that were with King David said, "Hey, we've got King Saul. He's inside of our own lair. Let us drive him through and end this chase." David said, "No, I cannot touch Elohim's anointed, and I will do his prophet no harm." His partners were so upset with him. "Kill him, kill him. Go ahead and kill him. You can justify yourself. You can kill him. You can be done with him." And David says, "No, he is still Elohim's anointed, and I cannot touch him for that fact and the fact that he is a prophet. I can never touch him." This happens two times in David's running that King Saul has been exposed to him to be driven through, and David does not take the justifiable route out, and he leaves King Saul to sleep. But he lets him know, "I could have hurt you, I could have harmed you. If I really wanted you dead, you'd be dead." King Saul each time understood. And then finally, when the will of the Lord was to be made evident, King Saul's time on the earth was expired by Elohim. David never touched him, and David ended up in the place of position that he was designed to be in. Never let your idea of what Elohim's plan is supersede his word. Always and only honor him. Ruach HaKodesh is an enforcer of his word. He will convict and bring into some form of contrition any human on the planet. I have learned through the power of prayer to Ruach HaKodesh to render all to him, because all to him we owe, not to another man, not to another day or another entity or another scenario. We owe to him all that we are, that he can use us for the reason that he placed us here. Never become distracted with your own thoughts and your own will and your own desire of engineered programming to allow what he wants for you to bring him glory. Remember that. It's so important. It's so important. Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there Elohim commands the blessing, even life evermore. Well, we got a great broadcast for you today. And I want you to look at John today, chapter number 14. It's a very good piece of the writ. And what he talks about is really interesting here. John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, if you, like I, believe in Elohim, Yeshua here is saying, you must also believe in me. Yeshua then says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Therefore I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will, as I promised, come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." The disciples listening in, Thomas says, "Lord, we know not whether you go, nor how can we know your way?" Yeshua said unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come unto Yahweh but by me. If you had known me, if you had really known me, you would have known my Father also. And from this point forward, you will know him because you've seen him. You've seen him in Messiah." Philip says, "Lord, Show us the Father, and it shall be sufficient for us. Yeshua said unto him, Have I been with you so long a time that you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how say you then to show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me, Philip? The words which I speak unto you, I don't speak of my own, but I speak the Father's words, the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. Verse 11 says, Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Believe me for the very works' sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me and the words that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he who believes do, because I have to go unto my Father. Verse 13 says, Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, in order for the Father to be glorified in the Son, Adonai. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15 reads, Now, if you love me, if you that say you believe in me, if you really love me, you will learn and you will make your efforts to keep my commandments. And if you do so, I will pray the Father. I will pray to Yahweh myself. That's why we call Yeshua HaMashiach, our mediator between God and man. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither does it know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. He tells the disciples, I will not leave you without comfort. I will come to you. Yet in a little while, and the world won't see me anymore, but you will see me. The reason is because I live, and because I live, you shall live also. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me. More importantly, I will be in you. Do we all have Messiah in us? Do we seek the love, the plan, the purpose, the destiny that is stitched within our very fiber? Or do we seek our own? Do we see him, or are we like the world? Because we have religion, we think we have salvation, because we go to church and we can listen to a broadcast or listen to a program or read a few verses of his Bible and think that we are God, become judge, jury, execution, blessing plan. Do we possess this spirit of Elohim into our internal being rather than our external being? See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the people who were obedient. But at the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Messiah and his ascension, when Ruach HaKodesh came down in the season of Shavuot, which we just passed on this coming Sunday, this past Sunday, his spirit now indwells every believer. Pesach and Shavuot are so significant. Passover and Pentecost, properly understood and defined, are so significant. They are appointments that help us to keep and maintain what Yahweh wants from us. Our ramblings and our dialogue and our way of seeing things, they matter in our world. But once we take our world and render it over to Him, what we hold as dear and important doesn't matter. But His will for our life as King of our souls, it does. And what He deems worthy, what He deems necessary, what He deems righteous is where we have to begin to, as I'm learning to do, acquiesce to. That means what I thought was significant, I have to filter that through the Word. What I thought was necessary, I have to filter that through the Word. What I thought was important, I have to filter that through the Word. And usually, after I've filtered it through the Word, and He's given me two or three witnesses behind the Word, He places me in a position to see that my thoughts are not like His thoughts. My ways are not like His ways. As far as the heavens are from the earth, so many times are my thoughts from His. And sometimes I can attend to be so spiritual. Yeah, don't mind if I just talk about me for a minute, do you? I got the microphone. Well, guess we got to deal with it. And I find out how errored I can be. I make choices. I make decisions that sometimes are good by social standards, okay by social standards, but when it comes to building His kingdom, can become very, very wrong. Not that they're bad, they're wrong. See, every good thing you do is not the God thing to be done. Just because you're big enough to do what you feel doesn't mean it is the thing that Elohim would for you to wield. Days are numbered, and they are in His hands. Often enough times, I arise to do a good deed. Sometimes that good deed is just that, it's good. But if I don't acknowledge Him in that good deed, it doesn't become a God deed, an Elohim desired deed. It may even fit with the Torah, love your brother, love your neighbor, forgive your brother, whatever it may be. Then there's a time when I need to filter through the Word. What would you have me to do today? Who should I go and see today? What should I speak today? How should I think about this matter today? You know, I find, saints of the Most High, that Yahweh is always willing to speak with us if we are ever willing to shut our own mouths and let our own brain's engineering follow according to His Word. It can save us a lot of pain, a lot of hardship. The great part is that even when we do break ourselves or we're broken by circumstances, He's the mender of our heart. He's the mender of our circumstance. He's the refresher. He can be and will be the restitution. He can be and will be the rehabilitation. He can be and desires to be the resetting of our lives. I don't know if you understand how important faith in Him is, but as we glean, as we press towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling, which is in Elohim, we put ourselves into a position to be elevated by Him, through Him, and for His glory alone. It's a wonderful thing to know that Elohim cares about you and everything about you. And he does it no matter how much you've broken and damaged your life. He is the only one who is big enough and wise enough to fix what you've broken. Here's the beauty of that. He needs you fixed so he can do his work through you. A broken vessel, a broken tool is very difficult to handle. But when the tool is in the master's hand, oh, what a work that can be yielded. It's a wonderful thing. So when we listen to this in John chapter 14, he says, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Sometimes your version of truth isn't his truth. There's always this truth, there's that truth, but then there's Yah's truth, there's the writ's truth. He says that the world can't see it. The reason why is because we're always going at our own. We're always finding our own scenarios. We're always trying to make sure that we've got our thoughts right, and we're trying to be right in our own eyes. That's his word. That's what I'm doing. I'm letting his word completely trains and transform, renew, refresh, pull up, pluck up, and replant. I like what Yeshua says. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't see him, neither does it know him. But he says to the disciples, but whether you realize it or not, you know him, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. For he dwells with you. I've been hanging out with you all this time. And now that I'm going on to glory, I'm sending Ruach HaKodesh back, and we're going to dwell in your heart. So verse 17 is right. He shall be in you. Verse 18 says, now I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you again yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you see me because I live. And because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20 says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father. This is so beautiful. And you are in me, and I am in you. I remember years ago, I would always have a problem and complaint about why my father was absent in my life, though I had a man in my home. And I was so angry as a young man who was pretty intelligent, at least he thought he was. I'm finding out now that the older I get, the dumber I am. When I was younger, I thought I knew everything. And every day as I live, I'm finding out that even with good information, you can still make some of the worst and terrible decisions with good information. But I would be very upset with my father, and I made a pact with myself. I said, you know, by the time I turn a grown man and have my own family, if I ever find out who my father is, now my mother didn't, she wasn't no floozy, don't you get me twisted. But there were things behind the scenes I found out later on in my life. And she, I said, if I ever met my father, my goal was to break his nose. That anger was pent up into me for at least 2 decades. Well, I finally met my father when I was 30-some-odd years old. Fortunately, I had just given my life back to Messiah. And I was ministering out. And one day, a person that I did not know was my biological father contacted me. And I came to meet them, and we met. And then he broke the news to me. Now, I had a conflict in my soul because for over 2 decades, I planned how I would shake his hand and then break his nose. And then tell him, this is the pain I felt by not having you in my life And what kind of a father, what kind of a man would do this to a, as we would say, innocent child, per se? Well, I had to learn that there was more to the story of my father than what I, without information, knew. And what I mean by that is, he had a reason why he couldn't contact me. But then he broke that to reach me. Now, that didn't matter to me, because all I wanted was my justification. And I became angry over those 2 decades, 20 years. I said, if I ever meet him, this is what's going to happen. And I meant it. I strategized on it. I didn't think about it, not once, not twice, many times. But then the day came, and I didn't even know it was going to come. I didn't realize I'd be saved. Yes, saved. And when I met them and they introduced themselves, they said, I just got back from a conference. I'll never forget it. It was a T.D. Jakes conference. It was one of the very first manpower conferences when it was really, really, really small, but it was effective. And he says, I can't go any longer, so I vowed that when I left that conference, I would find you and hunt you out, and we would have this conversation. So he keeps his word to himself and the people he made himself aware of, and he says, I wanted you to know who I am to you. And, you know, the irony was, when I shook his hand, I couldn't bring myself to do anything that I thought. But what happened was, this compassion and a love for him, that he now was born again, and I was now born again, and we're both trying to live a life that is pleasing to the Father. Somehow, some strange way, my energy of hate and my energy of vengeance transformed into an energy for building with him and sharing with him and propagating the kingdom. And more importantly, appreciating his story, where he come from, and what he stood for. And the more that I began to engage the reality of what Elohim wanted rather than what VW wanted to do, the more my life became a great deal easier, less stress, less headaches, because I would stress over that. And I know some of you saying, Apostle, why are you sharing this testimony? It's because I know too well how pent up anxiety and pain of our past in circumstances we just had no control over can affect us ultimately. So today, as many days I pray, I have to ask the Father, help me. Help me in what I think I believe. Help me in what I don't know to believe. Help me to be your image and not what Virgil wants, not what VW wants. And the beautiful part about it is, he does it. He does it in ways I could have never fathomed. That's why Yeshua said these words. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father. And that's if you're in me. Now, if you're not in me and you're just some person who has no desire to serve the true and living God, then, you know, you will put yourself at odds with me. And in that process, that's another story. But he says, if you're in me, in that day, you will see that I and my Father are one. You are going to be in me, and I, the Word of Elohim, shall be in you. He that hath my commandments, verse 21, John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, has my commandments and keeps them. It is he that loves me. I know that I've broken his commandments so many times since I said I would keep them. And I'm sure many of you out there have done the same thing. That's not to share fault or blame. No, 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 no. It's not to group you guys in. No, 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 no. Sometimes we didn't know we were breaking commandments. And then when we found out that we were, oh, the remorse, the pain. I don't know about you, but when I break the law, I break his word, I break his commandments, my heart, it's as if it was ripped out of my chest, the remorse that kicks over me. And then I find myself abased at his throne, much like David. David was king, and he took Bathsheba, if you will, though he could do it as king, because he was big enough and bad enough to do it. When the prophet Nathan came to him and said, David, this is what happened. He said, who is this man? He says, you are him. The prophet left, and David went before the father, and he abased himself before the father, and he lied there for days, not eating anything, consecrating himself, asking himself over and over again, how did I get here? How did I end up in this condition? How did I end up as a leader of your people, teaching them every day your word? How did I find myself now a transgressor of your word? And he lied there and he prostrated himself before the Father and he begged the Father, have mercy, forgive me. He told the Father in Psalms 51, it was so great. I love this psalm. He said, Father, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness. This is what David did. According to your multitude of your tender mercies, he asks the Father to blot out my transgressions. And then he says, wash me thoroughly from all of my iniquity. And I'm asking you, Yahweh, cleanse me from all of my sin. See, the one thing I like about David is he acknowledged his transgression. No, he didn't go before the kingdom and shout it from his palace steps and doors. But he told the Father these words. He says, I acknowledge my transgression, and what I have done is ever before me. I'm reminded of it every single day. He then says, so against you, Elohim, and you only, have I done this evil in your sight. And that I might be, or you might be justified when you speak about what I've done, Elohim, and that you, Elohim, can be clear when you judge me. I need you to know, Elohim, that I realize I was shaped in iniquity. As a matter of fact, in sin did my mother conceive me. I know, Elohim, that you desire truth on my inward parts. And in my hidden parts, Elohim, you will make me to know wisdom if I'm truthful with you. I'm asking you, purge me, please. Cleanse me out. Purge me with hyssop. And if you do it, Elohim, you do it, I shall be clean. Wash me, Elohim. And if you wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Please, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Elohim, I need you to hide your face from my sins, please, and blot out all of my iniquities. David, myself, I'm sure you do too, we pray, create in me a clean heart, Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me. Please, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. If you will do that, Elohim, I promise you, I will teach transgressors your ways, And I will do everything to see to it that sinners shall be converted unto you. I'm willing to do that, Elohim, but I ask you one favor. Deliver me from the guilt that I will feel. Times that even though you've delivered me and you've freed me and you've forgiven me, I can ask you to forget. But because I did it, my brain will never let me forget. And what I've done, I will always have a degree of guilt. So I'm asking you. David said, deliver me from blood guiltness. Please, Elohim, you are the God of my salvation. And if you do that for me, I will teach every transgressor I know all of your ways. I will walk according to your ways. I will see to it that sinners are converted unto you. My tongue will sing aloud of all of your righteousness, please, Yahweh. I don't even want to talk because of the things I've done, the places I've been, and the fool that I've made, and the shame I've brought to you. But if you will open my lips, if it's your desire for me to teach, if it's your desire for me to do this, if it is your desire to forgive me, it is. Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you don't desire sacrifice, lambs and goats and bullocks, or else I would give that to you. Delight in burnt offerings, acts of contrition, words that don't mean repentance. You don't delight in burnt offerings, but Elohim, the sacrifices that get your attention, your sacrifices from those that you have forgiven, the things that cause you great delight is when a man is a broken spirit of his own volition, and he has a broken and a contrite heart, and he comes to you, Elohim, knowing that you will not despise his broken spirit, his broken and his contrite heart. You won't despise her broken spirit. You won't despise her broken, contrite heart. So Elohim, I ask you, David asks, do good in your good pleasure unto Zion. And then build the walls of Jerusalem. So once you've healed us, build back the fortress around that area that you've healed, that it can be safe from going back out and finding itself broken or allowing something back in to break it. And then you'll be pleased with whatever sacrifices of righteousness we should render you, even the whole burnt offerings upon your altar. That's why I love David. Because even though David, and I find myself like him oftentimes, and many leaders that I talk with, if you love him and you keep his commandments, then your love for him comes out when you err. Sometimes you may not even have erred. You think wrong. See, this is what faith is. Faith is what Elohim's word says. So if you've made an error, if you've committed a sin, if you've, no one else may have known you've did the sin, but you know you've done sin. Confess it to Elohim, not to man. And when you confess it to Elohim and tell him, like David says, against you and you only have I done this sin and this evil in your sight. And then you make amends. You live your life to be what he wants. Ask him to restore you. Open your mouth, because sometimes you don't want to talk about his goodness, because somebody might know what you've been and where you've been and how you've been and what you've done and who you are. The movie says, I know what you did last summer. It's funny. It's interesting. because Yahweh knows what we've all done. I found myself wanting to exact my own form and version of justice on my father. And it wasn't until the time came, he sat me down and showed me, through my own father's words, what his struggle had become and how difficult it was for him. And I wasn't trying to hear it. But what I found out was, I didn't have the whole story. And then I found out, what would Yahweh do? What would Yeshua do? How would he deal with this? And I began at that moment. I was too young to understand it then. I'm a little older now. And I'm just now starting to think I have an idea of what he was trying to show me. And it was that vengeance belongs to Elohim. He gives it and doles it where and when he chooses. And it was difficult for me, feeling that I should be justified. I should be recompensed because I was birthed into this world, not by my own commission and charge. And that which was to take care of me abandoned me and left me technically open and exposed to any type of attack that could come against my life. And I know I'm ministering to someone right now, but understand this. Yahweh places us in earth with purpose, and that purpose will manifest regardless of the course, the journey, or the path that you've been placed on by mankind. But remember, mankind did not determine when you came into the earth. It was Yahweh's plans. Just like he told us in Jeremiah, I know my thoughts concerning you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. Thoughts to give you an expected end. So when I realized that it wasn't my dad's fault, it wasn't my mom's fault. I love them both dearly to this day. And my stepfather, who raised me. And all of that went on. Though I felt left, abused, and destitute, and abandoned, and pained, and if I had only had a father, I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that, I would have been better here, I could have made better decisions, I'd be in a better position. And I literally loathed him. Didn't know who he was, but I loathed him, and the day I met him, he was going to know it. Thank Yahweh, I met Yeshua HaMashiach first. And rather than cause a bloody mess because of my ignorant anger and wrath, we've been able to knit and to bond a life that isn't lovey-dovey, but it is one on mutual respect. And I found myself realizing for the first time what he meant in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If you, as a brother in Messiah, whether it's your biological father, your biological mother, whether it's your pastor, whether it's your evangelist, or whether it's your Sunday school teacher, whether it's your friend, if you are in Messiah, you are brothers. If it's your grandmom, your grandfather, your uncle, your auntie, if you are in Messiah, you are brethren. So therefore, if a brethren is overtaken in a fault, whatever the fault is, it doesn't say any specific type of fault. It says a fault. We don't know what type of fault. There are a myriad of faults. He says if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you, so spiritual, so deep, can quote so much word, you know so much about God and how God works. You, me, that are spiritual. See, at the time I saw my father, I was now starting in ministry. I'd been in town ministering all over the place. I didn't know, but he had heard of me and had seen me out, and he just never made himself known to me. And I was an up-and-coming minister at the time. And I could quote the Bible, man. Boy, oh boy. If you talk to me, all you was going to get was Bible. You that are spiritual, got so many verses for everything. But see, sometimes even though you know the word, you still have to know how to apply the word and how to live through the word. So when he took the opportunity and Yahweh presented the scenario, I understood this verse. If a brother, my dad I never thought was my brother, my mom I never thought was my brother, my grandmother, my aunt, the man who molested me as a child, I never thought of them as a brother. But once they were saved, they become my brother. No matter what they did before, if by the time I finally reconnect with them, they are in Messiah with a heart to serve him and to love him. That's your brother. And if he's overtaken or she's overtaken in a fault, you that are so spiritual, Elohim says, Yeshua says, learn to restore them. And do it in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest at some strange time and point in your life, you fall victim to your own proclivities in an even worse way, and you may need forgiveness. You may need mercy. You may need grace. The Father says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. He then lets us know very clearly and very vividly, forgive. For as you forgive, I forgive you. The measure in which you do these things, I will do unto you. Does it matter? It only matters that you understand. As brethren, we are in and at his table. Well, I don't know who that was for today. I hope it helps someone's heart. I know when I think about where I've been and the mercy that he's extended to me, I'd be a fool not to extend it to others. My sons, my daughters, my partners, business partners. Mercy is such a dynamic element. Salvation? Wow, what is salvation? It is the safest place in the whole wide world for the judgment that will be rendered upon the world. Make sure you're not found in hatred. Make sure you're not found in murmuring. Make sure you're not found in lie. Make sure you're not running to mischief. Make sure you stay safely in him. Forgive. Just forgive. Learn to love again. Learn to extend mercy, even when your heart is broken. That's the real healing power, because it shows you just how strong you are. Well, that's our broadcast for today. Hope that you enjoyed it. Looking forward to hearing from you. And as Messiah would say, if you keep my commandments, I am in you, and you are in me.
The Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team and a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.